We have Johnny and Doug making their entrance. Welcome, onliners. We're getting things together.
Hello,
how are you doing?
No, sir. That was just for your sake. What car?
Car parked right here. It looks like there's a light still on.
Yep. Jessica, your light, dome lights are on.
Here, can I do this? Anybody else? You got windows up? We'll need a door locked. I'm serving tonight. I'm your valet driver. I need some tea.
That you'll do yourself.
Wow, that's great.
Be nice to your brother.
In the praise book. You can get it and get me some coffee later. Do you need it now? I said, good, tell it on the mountain. Give everybody a minute. Just keep playing. You know, we'll have to work on that. See? Everybody there, page 61, go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angels' chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.
Amen. Next page, 62. We're going to see one of those shows in the skies. Is it tomorrow or is it tonight? Meteor shower, yeah. Well, yeah. Obviously, I know that's not what you call it, but that's what it is. It's just a light show in the sky. But when is that? You guys. That's true. You guys look up and think it's a star and you find out it's one of the helicopters, right?
Giving the light, oh, now to all.
I didn't have the mic on. So
the
for the sake of the onliners, I'll remind you or inform you, Janie Miller's going to sing Away in a Manger with Jenny Allball accompanying.
There you go. Where do you want to stand?
Whatever. Evening, everybody. This is my Christmas present to everybody. On Elaine and Bethany, Hartman, what's his name?
Gail?
Gail, everybody.
And what's your name?
Yeah. Sweet. Anybody I missed? It's the same. Oh, yeah, Aaron, too, if he's watching. Or if he shows up. This one segues into our Bible study. It came upon a... It's in the hymn book. Hence the word hymn. Yes.
I just assumed it was a misgendering. My bad.
This is a great song, really, to sing all year long. Like Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's another good one. All four verses.
I'm sorry.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music flows o'er all the weary world. Above in sad and lowly plains they bend on hovering wings, and ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hasting on, by prophet's bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold. When peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. Amen. Good singing. All right. Now we can raise your hands for a prayer card. Janie will bring those around. Onliners will watch for yours at bbfohio@protonmail.com. Our camera crew will eventually get there and we'll do our checklist.
It's done.
Stunned? All right.
There we go. Okay. Sweet.
Doing, Doug?
All right. Another day in paradise.
Amen. Good to have Brother Brian Lee among the living again.
Amen.
And good that Mary's bounced back. We appreciate y'all keeping that stuff home, but we're glad to see you when you make it back.
And
a few of them. John Allball is dealing with it. And must be the cows giving it to everybody up there.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah, that's it.
playing with him.
All right. We're going to have a quick current events update, and I'm not going to do comments and questions. We're just going to end it with prayer. So hold your questions and comments. And it's all about Israel's war today, 12/13/23. Israel is flooding Hamas tunnels and flushing them out like rats. Have you seen any of this? No word on whether that person filming survived. That's why you're seeing these clips where Hamas, by the dozens and in some cases hundreds, are surrendering. They rip their wet clothes off of them, search them, and then line them up in the streets to put them on buses to take them to a prison camp. And so that's what's going on. Meanwhile, the nations are uniting against Israel. With each passing day, you're seeing that more and more.
The United Nations on Tuesday voted to back a resolution that demanded an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, coming as U.S. President Joe Biden warned that Israel was losing international support in light of Palestinian civilian casualties.
In the name of humanity, I ask you all once again, stop this violence now.
After dire warnings by UN officials about a growing humanitarian crisis in Gaza, more than three-quarters of the 193-member UN General Assembly backed the resolution. The US and Israel voted against the measure, along with eight other countries.
Ceasefire means one thing and one thing only, ensuring the survival of Hamas.
The resolution is not binding, but it carries political weight, reflecting a global view on the war. A similar vote was held in the 15-member UN Security Council last week and vetoed by the United States. The Palestinian Authority welcomed the resolution and urged countries to pressure Israel to adopt the ceasefire, as fighting between Israel and Hamas intensified across Gaza on Tuesday. Residents said Israeli shelling in the south was some of the heaviest in days, despite its forces earlier ordering people to flee there for safety. There are growing signs Israel is becoming diplomatically isolated over its conduct of war. Biden told a campaign donor event earlier on Tuesday that most of the world still backs Israel, but that it was, quote, starting to lose that support by indiscriminate bombing. Biden's comments came as close ally Australia backed the UN ceasefire resolution in a rare split with the United States. A joint statement with Canada and New Zealand said, quote, the price of defeating Hamas cannot be the continuous suffering of all Palestinian civilians. Though they also added that a ceasefire cannot be one-sided and demanded Hamas stop using Gaza's residents as human shields.
Amen. Only 10 voted against the UN call for a ceasefire. That includes Austria, the Czech Republic, Guatemala, Israel, of course, Liberia, Micronesia, Nauru, Papua New Guinea, Paraguay, and the United States. There were 23 countries that abstained, which, to their credit, at least they didn't vote for it. And that includes Argentina, Bulgaria, Cabo Verde, Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea, Georgia, Germany, you know, Hungary, Italy, Lithuania, Malawi, Marshall Islands, Netherlands, Palau, Panama, Romania, Slovakia, South Sudan, Togo, Tonga, Ukraine, United Kingdom, and Uruguay. That left 153 countries that voted in support of Hamas. But in Turkey, a lawmaker cursed Israel with the wrath of Allah, and this happened. He suffered a heart attack.
Wow.
We have the video.
Watch.
Boom. Now what he said, you cannot be saved from the wrath of Allah, and then said one more salutations, and then bam. He's not been pronounced dead yet. They keep saying he's in critical condition. That sends a message, or at least it should. I believe this man is a recipient of this promise in God's Word, Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee.
Amen.
It was a prophecy. If you listen to what he said, he was making a prediction, and his failed prophecy reminded me of Jeremiah 5:13, and the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. What he is calling for Israel fell on his own head. Jenny was saying it reminded her of remember when Herod received the adoration that the Pope receives all the time as God, and then died and the worms ate him. This is Israel's message to Hamas and their supporters, Isaiah 8:10. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
Amen.
The spirit of Antichrist has been trying to destroy the Jews for over 4,000 years, really. The Holocaust was just the most recent major attempt at genocide against the Jews. And that resulted in the birth of Israel, May 14, 1948. But not before Holocaust survivors. Imagine surviving the Holocaust. There's only one place safe on planet Earth, and that's your homeland, where Israel is now as a nation. But they were fleeing the Holocaust and were arrested as they were approaching Israel on the Mediterranean.
They made ready their banners and their true flag. The flag was hoisted before the world.
They're off the coast of Israel right now. Before they finally, some of them did get to go into the land after the Holocaust. That was still going on. So, hashtag never again. So, we are going to have prayer tonight before our Bible study for Israel. And, you know, it's a mixed bag. We know what's coming. The Bible's told us ahead of time. We know that after the rapture, the great tribulation hits, and it'll be actually worse for Israel than any time in their history. That's yet to come. We're falsely accused. I was accused again this week. We're falsely accused of desiring that, and that somehow we believe that Israel has to fight these wars in order for the rapture to happen. And I just tell them every time, you're ignorant. That has nothing to do. The rapture could happen any moment without any wars or anything. And the only thing we do is we believe the Bible. We believe what the Bible says. The Bible says 2/3 of the Jews in the tribulation in Israel will be killed. They've rejected their Messiah. And he's going to come at the end of that 7-year period. It says they'll look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn. And they mourn because they have rejected their Messiah as a nation for 2,000 years. It's something to mourn over. The mourning will be turned to joy and laughter within some months as the kingdom will be established. Jesus Christ will rule and reign. And those Jews that survived that tribulation without the mark of the beast will then begin 1,000 years with Christ in the land.
Yep, literal
1,000 years. Yeah. In the meantime, we're told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're told to bless Israel. And so with that, we'll open with a word of prayer. And I ask Brother Jim, if you would lead us in prayer. And those two main prayer requests, Israel, and then also our Bible study.
Lord, Father, we ask you to bless you with the service tonight. We do thank you for what pastors prepared for us, Lord. Lord, I just pray that everyone in here has a heart of love for Israel and for the people and what they've gone through, Lord.
Amen.
This isn't anything, there's nothing new under the sun. This has been going on for thousands of years, Lord. In every nation that the Jews have fled to, Lord, they've been persecuted. They've been murdered. Lord, we just lift up these people. They may be hard to love on a personal level, Lord, but you love them. You chose them. And Lord, we do pray for the country of Israel. We pray for Jewish people everywhere, Lord.
Man.
They have a right to exist. Lord, we just lift them up. We pray for the leadership in that country, that they stay strong, that they would be convicted by you, Lord, to follow this through and not listen to the United States or anyone else, Lord, who may have a different agenda.
Amen.
We pray for their military. We pray for their safety, Lord. But just that the nation would be strong, that they would see this fight through, and that they would have victory.
Yes.
We just thank you, Lord, for all of us here present. We thank you for your traveling mercies. We thank you for your love and protection for us, the church, that we can still come together freely, Lord. We don't take that for granted, Lord. We thank you for every blessing.
Yes.
We just lift up the service in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to have some reading tonight. I think I have 5 readings. So raise your hand if you'd like to read for us tonight. Mary, we'll start with you. Jude, verses 20 and 21. And Jessica, James 1, 21 to 25. Johnny, Colossians 5, verses 2 through 6. And Janie, Hebrews 9, 27 and 28. And one more. Nathan, Titus 2:11 through 14. I'll give you a minute to make sure you get yours down. Yeah, Nathan's is Titus 2:11 through 14. The patient waiting for Christ. That's how the word puts it in our text. The patient waiting for Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3 to 5. As we continue our study of 2 Thessalonians 3 and focus on the need for the patient waiting for Christ. A lot of Christians aren't even waiting for Him. They're not looking for Him. But of those who really are looking for Him, our problem is being patient. We just want Him to come back now. So let's read those verses. We're in 2 Thessalonians 3. Just read verses 3 through 5. If you're there, read that with me. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So after requesting prayer, that was our previous study in the first two verses, Paul had requested prayer for the ministry and then also against those who would not who do not have faith, the unreasonable wicked men who don't have faith. Paul then, in these verses, assures us, beginning verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
I don't know the percentage, but of all the people who have quit the Lord, it's usually because they have a totally false idea about God's responsibility versus man's responsibility.
Yeah.
I'm reading a book, Hearts on Fire, put out by Voice of the Martyrs. And there's a young lady who was in China, and her father died, and that left her family in poverty. And she got mad at God and said, what kind of a God would do this? Well, folks, listen. One of our memory verses is Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Everybody's going to die if you don't go up in the rapture. That's the only exceptions. Everybody else, we're going to hear, I think, Janie will read it in Hebrews 9, 27-28, but it's appointed unto men once to die. You're going to die. It's appointed. And if you don't have that settled, and the fact is, you know, just that guy, Turkey in Turkey, that dropped with a heart attack, that has happened to good men. They've been up preaching in the pulpit and dropped dead in the pulpit.
Yeah.
I could drop dead just up here teaching you right now. I could drop dead. Jane's like, don't you dare. But it's happened. It could happen. And so if I drop dead, what kind of a God would allow his preacher to drop dead in the pulpit? I'm here to tell you that the kind of God who's holy and said, you have sinned, you will die, and you don't know the time, but it's appointed.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
It could happen. You know, sadly, it's someone driving down the road and just has a heart attack and drives off the... We don't know what happened. Last night, a young lady was found in a small lake, and they don't really know what happened, but she went off the road into a lake, and they had to drudge her out of there. Death is a part of life. Here's the thing. If you're going to live, you got to die. You're going
to
stay in this world. You're only going to stay a certain amount of time. And it's just a reality. Sin is why. Go down to the Nationwide Children's Hospital. It's heart-wrenching. I've been there. I've done it. You really want to test your faith, go to the burn unit. It's horrible. And yes, it crosses your mind probably. If it doesn't you, it does me. I'm thinking, you know, it'd just be wonderful if God give me the ability to heal.
Yeah.
And I could just walk up to those children and touch them and heal them, and they get their skin back the way it's supposed to be. And I love, but you know what, folks? That day's coming. Uh-huh. I think we'll get to it again when we come to the end of the verses we read. The patient waiting is the hard part. But there's coming a time and a day when all those who belong to God, if you reject Jesus Christ, you forfeit this. But this includes all the aborted babies, all the miscarriages, all the little toddlers that have died, all the children who are not of the mental ability to be accountable. All them and all those who are adults who have received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you're going to live in a world where you're going to see all that. You're going to see God do away with every every single issue that every one of us have when it comes to health, when it comes to our brains and our mental capacities or lack thereof. Amen. I mean, how many times Jenny and I are constantly trying to help each other because we're forgetting things and losing things. And, you know, you realize that's not going to happen anymore in heaven. You will never again lose your car keys. Amen, Mary? We found a key out here. Who's the first person we thought of, you know? Huh? It turned out it wasn't. Yeah, so if you lost a Honda key, we have one. So. So, in other words, if we overcome, if we are overcome, it'll be our own fault because we have refused to think God's thoughts. If you will take the Word of God and think God's thoughts, then when things happen, you'll understand. I'm not saying you understand, you know, why this 5-year-old and not my 5-year-old or vice versa. You know, there's people whose children die and they understand what I just said, but they still wonder, why? Why did it have to be my child? That school bus that got hit, why my child and not any of the others? Not that you wanted the others to die, but, you know, it's natural to think like that. But there are questions that we're going to have answered. And God's going to tell us, and I don't know what that answer will be, but I'll guarantee you one thing. We'll all be going, oh, okay. You were right.
Amen.
That's going to happen. Paul's prayer is basically that, that he and we will faithfully obey God's word. He's saying he's not taking for granted his own walk with the Lord. Do you notice that? So don't be afraid. You should not be afraid to openly ask for prayer when you need it. It's one of the saddest things as a pastor is how many times people are going through things and then they're pew away. And they come back after it's over. And we say, well, you know, that's what we're here for.
Unless you're sick, stay home.
Well, if you're sick, but you still, they contact me.
Yeah.
You know, like Mary let us know, I'm not going to come because I'm sick. And we're like, thank you. But now she's better, so she's back. Thank you. But we've had people, they'll be gone for weeks and even months. And then when they come back, you find out they've gone through some stuff. You're like, that's what family is here for you. And we want to be there for you. Maybe there's something we could do other than, you know, sick people, people are just struggling. Sometimes they need a little help. We can help them out one way or another. And we can pray for you.
Yep.
And a lot of times it's just being there. But you rob yourself of that if you cut yourself off.
Yep.
And, you know, I went through a similar situation 25 to 20 years ago where I was kind of cut off because I had to relocate. I didn't know anybody. I'd visit churches. And you know what that's like. And so finding a good church was a horrible process, and I didn't have anybody, and it was really difficult. And I am so thankful to have a local church.
Amen.
I'm so thankful to have other believers.
Amen.
We don't agree on 100% of everything, but we believe on this, and we agree on this, and we can share our relationship with our Father, and I can talk to my Father, who's your Father, and you can talk to your Father, who's my Father. Amen? And we can pray for one another. Sometimes a hug, sometimes a, you know, a good handshake and a pat on the back. Doug prefers a kiss. Yeah, Jessica? Yes, that's where Jessica likes to kiss me. And I keep it nice and shaded. She doesn't chafe her lips or anything like that. We're given all kinds of simple instructions like this. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen?
Amen.
Now, of course, that goes for our loved ones who want to pray to statues and things. The Orthodox have the icon pictures and they pray to it and kiss them and all that. And then the Catholics have their little dashboard idols. And then they got some big ones in their churches and they cross themselves and pray. That's idolatry and it's wrong. But, you know, anything you put between you and God becomes your idol. And so we're, what happens when you see people do that, you'll see their relationship with God fall. And so that's a very simple but difficult one for a lot of people. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's a simple one. But Scripture is Scripture. Who's got Jude? Is that Mary?
Yeah.
Jude, just one chapter in that little book. You read it today if you're following our calendar, or you'll read it later if you haven't already.
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
You see how it's, God's always telling us to be active participants in this thing. Too many Christians don't want to do what they're supposed to do, but then pray, "Dear God, do something." And that's not how it works. Not that God won't do anything. He does. But a lot of times, He doesn't, because the reason you're where you are, and I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody, so don't think for a moment that I'm not taking this. This is from my own experience. Because you haven't done, or I haven't done, what we're supposed to do, we've dug ourselves a nice big hole. And I watched one time a guy was thrown into a pit, or he might have fallen into it, I can't remember. But instead of just crying and everything, because he couldn't climb up the sides of it, it was really soft dirt and everything, and he tried to climb and everything. So what did he do? He just started building his own stairway. He took that dirt and packed it and, you know, made it. He made about 3 or 4 or 5 inches tall. And then he went on top of that and made it a little more and made it a little more. And he literally made his own steps to get out of that thing. And it took a lot because that dirt was really soft and everything. So he had to work on it and pound it and fist like he would a sledgehammer or something. He'd worked and worked and worked and worked. And it took him, I think it was a day or two he was in that thing. But he made his way out of it. There are other people who get in a pit like that and they end up dying. Because they just sit there, cry and scream and wait for somebody to come and get them. I don't know about you, but that's what the world kind of seems like a lot of times in my life. I feel like I'm in a pit. But sitting around crying and screaming has never helped. I mean, yes, there's the chance that someone will come along and be able to help you. But for the most part, MacGyver. Yeah. You know, most of the time, the right thing to do is to pray and say, "Lord, I've got myself in this pit. Show me how to get out. Show me how to get out." And spiritually, we're told to go back. A lot of times, I think we just got to go back to the first works and start to build our way back out. Because that's how we dug ourselves in, by not doing what we're supposed to do. Johnny?
Does it remind me of a cartoon series we saw or we've seen where the idea is the main character is constantly getting into trouble and having to constantly get himself out of it. And one of his friends is with him for one of them. And, you know, the friend is screaming and he's just calmly running. And so then, "Why aren't you screaming?" And he says, "I've found it doesn't help."
That's it.
Exactly.
Wow.
Now, I'll be the first to admit there's been a few times where I've let out of, like a Tasmanian devil or something. But, it feels good for, it does. It shouldn't be abuse toward anybody else or anything. But Jenny will tell you, I've been in my office and I just used the excuse that she's in the back of the house to yell. Jenny! What? This stupid thing, I yell. And she comes in and says, "What?" Now I feel all calm. And I'm like,
and then she's stressed.
We are to hear and do the word. And so if you don't do what you're supposed to do as a Christian, you don't lose your salvation. God doesn't kick you out of the family, but He doesn't reward bad behavior. So if you're not in the Word, you're not, I mean, and it should study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's work. It takes some work. But you know what? I can't speak for you, but you know what really feels good to me is when I work hard and accomplish something. My dad taught me that as a kid. If I bought something because he just gave me a $5 bill, that was great. But if he made me do something around the house and work, and then he gave me that $5 and I went and got that thing, it was so much more satisfying. And that's the way I was raised. I didn't get an allowance. And when I had money to buy something, it's because I worked for it. Well, your salvation is by grace through faith. You're saved by not of works, lest any man should boast. But we talked about this last week. But what's it then say? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So you're not saved by works, but once you're saved, now you're ready to get to work. Amen? And God's not going to reward lazy, bad behavior. Who's got James 1? Jessica? If you're still in Jude, you're real close to James. Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. We're in James 1. 21 to 25.
James 1. 21. Okay.
Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Now stop there for a second. You see that? That's Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, right there. You receive the word, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, you're saved by faith, it all goes together. You receive the word, which is able to save your souls, but immediately it says, be ye doers as a result of being saved. All right, pick up 23 through 25 there, Jessica.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
And there's a lot to say there, but you get the gist, the basics there. If you just hear and you don't do, nothing. If you hear and do, you'll be blessed in your deed. That's simple. And Paul is confident in his readers that they will be doers of the word. That's where back in our text in verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. So Paul's confident that his readers will keep on keeping on. That's his confidence. Now, I have that confidence in you, looking around. But I've been in this ministry for more than 30 years, and there are people I had that confidence in. But I lost that confidence because I saw, as time went on, they slacked, they pulled away from the Lord, they weren't in the Word. They have excuses all the time, and before long you saw it, and they were making shipwreck of their faith. And so, I don't look around here and see anyone. If I did have that sense about you, I'd confront you with it lovingly. I'd come to you and tell you. I've done that on occasions. But, at this point, I don't see that. Look at how similar our passage is to this text in Paul's letter to the Colossians. Who's got Colossians 4? Another, just like we saw the similarity there in James. Look at this in Colossians 4, 2 through 6.
continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
So we won't spend a lot of time doing this, but if you look at our text, especially going actually from verse 1 through verse 5 in 2 Thessalonians 3, and he had the same message over and over. And it's the same here in Colossians, telling them to do. Continue in prayer. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Praying also for us. What he asked our last study is he asked prayer for himself and the other apostles, that they'd have a door of utterance in Colossians. Here to the Thessalonians, he was saying that the word may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you and so forth. So this message is constantly repeated in the epistles of Paul. And of course, we'll find it in other places as well. And as we do so, as Paul is telling us there, we will presently be doing, that's your first question, can you honestly say you are doing what God has commanded you to do? I don't want to hear the answer. It's between you and God. But are you doing those things? And also committed to the continual doing, that you continually will do what God says to do. Now, to some of you, hopefully this is over, it's like very simple. You're doing it, fine. But I think you also, if you are, then you'll have discernment and you'll know that this is not typical. Not typical. Too often Christians are not even covering these basics that we're studying here. The difference between those who accomplish things for the Lord and those who don't, faithful consistency is the difference. I have known so many preachers who never really get a solid ministry because they're constantly, they're like tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but that happens a lot to people. Pastors and preachers of various ministries, they're tossed to and fro by various things as well. It's like a dog, you can have their attention and it's, And that's how too many Christians are, and that's how many too many preachers are like that. It's like there's always, and it's a pride thing too, because people are always thinking of how can I do this and I get this. And they wouldn't say it this way, but they're like, I want to have some attention, and I want people to think I'm a great spiritual, giant and that kind of thing. Years ago, I was, talking to my dad because there was this big thing, and some of you are familiar with the fundamentalist controversies and everything with the Jack Hiles and Ruckman and all the groups and the little schisms and all that. And there's Robert Sumner against Curtis Hudson and that stuff going. As a new Christian, I said, what all these guys believe the same thing, but they're always fighting and putting letters out in their publications and everything. This before the internet. And I said, what? And my dad said, Greg, there's too many chiefs. Everybody wants to be the chief. There are not enough Indians. Very politically incorrect, but very true. And that's what a lot of the schisms some of you have experienced in local churches. That's what it was all about. We've been praying for Charles Lawson down in his church. I've had several people ask prayer for what was going on down there. What's going on down there? Just somebody else wants to be chief. That's what's behind a lot of this stuff. Doug, did you want to say something?
Yeah, it is like a fishing lure that is sparkles.
Mm-hmm.
And in the pastor or somebody in the congregation going after that,
yeah,
instead of what the word is.
Yeah, fall for the bait.
Yeah, you were talking about earlier about being in the hole. Well, that's the difference between sympathy and empathy. The person with sympathy wants to stay in the hole and whine and moan, and one with the empathy wants to help his friends get out of the hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Difference. Moses is an example of what we're talking about. Numbers 12:7. My servant Moses is not so. What was great about Moses? Who is faithful in all mine house. Notice how it's worded. He didn't say he's more faithful, or he just says he's faithful in all my house, because faithfulness is so rare.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you don't have to do a lot, but if you just do it faithfully, it's going to count for something when you stand before the Lord. But there's guys who have done a lot and then destroyed it by what they did later. And don't be that guy. Why are even biblical local churches floundering and faltering in the world right now? In some cases, they have bad leadership. The pastor's not really called and that kind of thing. But there are a lot of good preachers with a lot of good little churches, but they lack faithful men. There are some churches where the women outnumber the men. Yeah, I think we're an exception that we have such a balance of the men and women in population in our church family. And there's a lot of churches I've gone to, and I know of several where there's no men, just women. And there's a couple of cases I know it's because the women are a bunch of, you know, bossy Jezebels and the men can't stand to be around them. But in some of these churches, it's because the men are just useless and their women love the Lord. That's the difference. That's a true story. Psalm 12:1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. That's the cry in times of apostasy. And we talked about it previously. We're approaching the great falling away. So that's why you're seeing, you men, don't get the big head. But you, by choosing to be faithful, set yourself apart in this generation just by being faithful. Faithful in your church, faithful to your wife and family, faithful to your friends, faithful to whatever God's called you to do. As it was in the days of Noah, only Noah is said to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You think about that? As it was in the days of Lot, Lot was the only man to survive the destruction of Sodom. So Paul's next words are even more pressing for our day. In our text, look at verse 5. Read that with me. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. I'm going to ask you to read it again. Are you there?
No.
If your neighbor's asleep, slap them. All right, ready? Verse 5, read it with me. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. When the Lord is directing our hearts, we will love Him and patiently wait for Him. If you're right with God right now, I can say this without any fear of contradiction from the Scripture or any doubt that I'm telling you the truth. If you're right with God, then you love Him and you're waiting for Him.
Amen. Amen.
It is so much like love relationships here on earth. There's some people who have said the reason why it didn't just say find a wife or a husband, but it were to, you know, love each other. Because it pictures our relationship with our Heavenly Father. How so? Well, because I love my wife. And I don't like her being away from me. And the longer she's away from me, the less I like it. And there was the one time where she had to fly out to another state to save the world. And she's down there doing her thing and saving the world, and then a day or two later comes home. I hated that. I've heard of these preachers, you know, that spend all their time away from their wives and everything. I'd be like, Lord, I'll be your evangelist and go do that, but you got to make it so that I can take my wife with me.
Amen.
So what I would just do is make her my music ministry, and then she's got to come with me, right? Amen?
Amen.
But thankfully, the Lord planted me here, and so we drive back and forth together. She can't get rid of him. We find this same pattern laid out in Paul's other letters. He's got Titus 2, 11 through 14. Nathan?
That should be Jamie. Well, it's Jamie's next on the list.
Hebrews 9. Go ahead and read that, Jamie, since Jenny doesn't seem to want to get up. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Go ahead, Jenny. Hebrews 9, 27, 28.
Okay. All right, let me get back there. All right. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment.
Listen.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, if you're not looking for him, he's not going to take you at the rapture. Because, you know, we all have our moments. We get busy. We're not actively thinking and looking for him in that moment. But what I believe that is saying is that generally, if you're a person who just doesn't care and doesn't look for the Lord to return, there's something wrong. His children are looking for his return. We go back to Titus 2, 11 through 14, Nathan.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works.
You see, just again, to be doing, and as you're doing, looking for that blessed hope. It all goes hand in hand, goes together. We'll close with this same spirit in Paul's letter to Timothy. Let's close by reading this. 2 Timothy 4, 8 through 5.
No,
8 through 5. 5 through 8. Is that a form of dyslexia? Five through eight. I'll read verse five and then jump in with the even with me. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Listen, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love is appearing. You see all that? It just lays it out constantly over and over in different words. Paul is not boasting. He's basically given his final testimony that he's kept the faith. What's that mean? Faithful. Paul is one of those guys that was faithful. And henceforth, then he knows he has this crown of righteousness. And who's going to get the crown of righteousness? Those that love his appearing. Isn't that something? It's a beautiful thought. All ties in together from the different writings of Paul especially. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you for what we've learned. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who can go to each one of us separately and show us what we need to hear and glean from this study. Pray that those in this room and those listening online, those listening at any time in the future, will be motivated to become, if they're not already, doers of the Word and to be faithful in doing the Word. looking for you. And we thank you, Lord, for saving us in the first place. None of us deserving salvation. All of us who are saved, calling out that you alone are worthy. You alone are to receive the praise, honor, and glory for being the only true Savior of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's close with Joy to the World, a song that, yes, the Lord has come, and that refers to His first coming, but you read the lyrics as you're singing this, and it's a song that we could sing at His second coming. Stand if you can. Hold on just a second. Play it again. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven, nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nation prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. He say, joy to the Lord. Yeah, I said Lord.
Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, raise your hand if you have a prayer card. Jenny's going to collect those. Onliners, we'll be looking for yours at bbfohio@protonmail.com. As we say goodbye to the onliners on three, one, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.